Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Though a final vote tally won't be available for days, interim San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee came close to declaring victory at his election party last night. The longtime city administrator was appointed in January to fill out the term of now Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. At his election night party, Lee read his nearly 13-point lead over his closest rival to mean San Francisco voters want him to stay on the job.
They want the city to continue the way we've been running it and increasing jobs for everybody. I think San Francisco wants us to do 4 more years. What do you think? All right.
The election marks the city's first competitive mayor's race using ranked choice voting. Lee went up against 15 contenders. Turnout was generally low, but voters in predominantly Chinese-American precincts came out in force. There were allegations of voter fraud involving mail-in ballots 2 weeks ago, so the Secretary of State provided election monitors yesterday. If Lee wins, he would be San Francisco's first elected Asian-American mayor. If the concept of ranked choice voting throws you for a loop, you're not alone. Some San Francisco supervisors are already talking about ditching it. We've got a link to more on that discussion at our website, californiareport.org. Another closely watched election in California involved reform measures in L.A. County's tiny, scandal-plagued city of Vernon. Vernon has only 74 registered voters, though it's home to 1,800 companies that employ more than 50,000 workers who make everything from Tapatio hot sauce to Lucky Brand jeans. Earlier this year, state lawmakers nearly dissolved Vernon because of its history of corruption. City leaders fought off that threat with heavy lobbying in Sacramento and a promise to put a slate of reform measures before voters. Yesterday, 52 of those 74 registered voters overwhelmingly approved 4 measures, limiting city council members to 2 terms, requiring competitive bidding on city contracts, getting rid of at-will employment for city employees, and finally, amending the city charter to allow the city council to remove the city administrator. John Vigna is a spokesperson for State Assemblyman John Perez of Los Angeles, who led the effort in Sacramento to dissolve Vernon. Vigna says yesterday's election results are promising, but
there has to be a pattern of essentially repentance here and showing their surrounding communities that they are trying to change. So the passage of these measures, I think, will send a signal that those changes are starting to happen, and whether they continue to happen, we'll just have to remain vigilant and see.
A second slate of reform measures will be put to Vernon voters later this month. The next election in California is in June. Under a new state law, it will be the last primary election with ballot measures qualified through the initiative process. Why the change? The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers delivers the backstory.
Polls show Californians love direct democracy, the power to write and overturn laws at the ballot box. For almost 40 years, they've wielded that power at primary elections, general elections, and special statewide elections. But not all elections are equal, says Democratic State Senator Lonnie Hancock of Berkeley.
Primary and special elections draw fewer, more partisan voters than general elections, so voters in such elections do not represent the needs and priorities of the population at large.
Hancock made those remarks during legislative debate this fall on her Senate Bill 202, signed into law last month by Governor Jerry Brown. That law says from now on, initiatives and referendum measures can only appear on November statewide ballots. It doesn't apply to 2 initiatives that long ago qualified for the June 2012 ballot, but the new law does apply to an upcoming initiative that's wildly unpopular with organized labor and thus with many Democrats. And that's why some believe Democrats acted quickly in the final hours of this year's legislative session.
The way the process used to work before the dirty trick was pulled with SB 202, we were headed for the June ballot.
Julie Soderlund is a political consultant for the initiative that would ban candidate contributions that come from automatic paycheck deductions. That is particularly repulsive to labor because virtually all of its political money comes from the paychecks of union members. The initiative's backers specifically targeted the June ballot, where the Republican presidential primary may skew the turnout in favor of conservative voters. But the new election law delays the paycheck contribution initiative until November to face more voters that are union-friendly Democrats. Even so, campaign consultant Julie Soderlund says the ploy could backfire.
Giving our campaign more time to raise money from people who realize that reform is necessary when it comes to campaign finance actually might help us in the long run.
There is irony in Jerry Brown signing the law that limits initiatives to November elections. As Secretary of State in 1971, he championed the move to expand ballot measures to all statewide elections. But the new law hasn't just stirred up controversy over its changes to the electoral process. It also includes an unrelated provision that's irking Republican legislators in Sacramento, the delay of a budget-related ballot measure that both parties agreed to place on next June's ballot, now pushed back to November 2014.
You know, I've always heard, well, you know, my word is my bond. And it seems like we're even throwing that out.
Assembly Republican leader Connie Conway says Democrats breaking the deal on a budget ballot measure only fuels Republican distrust. Democrats, though, contend the measure, which would have required setting aside more money in a rainy day fund, would have meant deeper cuts in current programs. Assessing the impact of the election change isn't easy. Turnout is higher for November elections, and initiatives will face a broader electorate. But voters may be so overwhelmed by the sheer number of initiatives and the resulting commercials, mailers, and phone calls that they simply vote no on everything. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
And finally, today, the U.S. Supreme Court considers California's law banning the slaughter and sale of animals that can't walk, enacted after the Humane Society released an undercover video showing so-called downer cows being waterboarded and jabbed with forklifts at a plant run by Westland Hallmark in Chino. The video sparked a national uproar and led to the recall of 143 million pounds of beef, the largest in U.S. history. The National Meat Association, based in Oakland, won an injunction to block the ban. Meatpackers and the Obama administration contend California has no right to enforce humane treatment of farm animals because the federal government has sole authority. We've got a link to our previous coverage at californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Wednesday, November 9th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the SunPower Corporation, offering high-efficiency solar energy solutions to households and businesses in California and worldwide. The world standard for solar. SunPowerSolar.com. The Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallas Family Fund for coverage of climate change. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as stopping email-borne viruses and preventing data leaks. Barracuda.com.